Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We should, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
That's where we, shut,
cram
you,
it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut,
sake!
I swear to God, I will go over the...
You!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. So much. There's so much. Can I just tell you that this morning, Rex, I woke up and I was laying in my bed and I picked up my phone and I was looking what things have been added to the dumpster fire.
What fresh hell awaits us
what
today?
What things await us today? And I look at my phone and I immediately see the Time cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to no one in particular, because I live alone, I just went like, yes!
Boom!
Like, did the Cabbage Patch jumping out of the bed, and I was real excited. And if I had a football nearby, I would have spiked it.
There you go.
But nice. I was like, in your face, bitches! And I was real excited about seeing that.
Yeah, that was a good thing. And honestly, not I wasn't surprised.
No.
Because if they, frankly, had not done that...
Douchey.
Yeah, it would have been a
terrible
falling
move.
Flat on your face kind of thing.
Yes. So. Also, I... The following second... I then thought of, like, how pissed Trump must be.
Yeah.
He must be, like,
exactly.
Sitting there just pouting. And for some reason, when I picture him tweeting in the middle of the night, it's with, like, in a long white shirt and a little stocking cap,
like Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I just imagine Trump just, like, fussily women
so I thought,
angrily being that way.
Our Twitter pal, Onoshi Twin...
Man, she's funny.
Had a perfect tweet, which I said, so instead of losing to one woman in 2016, Trump lost to all women in 2017. And then, like, a string of little dancing ladies.
Man, she's funny.
She's really funny. Don't tell her I said that. It'll go to her head.
Well, just, it'll be a test to see if she really listens
yeah,
to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
She never says anything.
Yep.
Be like, didn't comment,
so,
did you?
Yeah, thought you listened. I guess
yeah, so that was very exciting.
But yeah, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, a gracious president would be like, indeed it is.
Or perhaps acknowledge past actions, make promises to be better.
Right.
You know, but of course, I mean, no. I mean, nothing's happened. I don't know what's... What I think is interesting, we can get into this more a little bit later, but the...
Oh, no, let's get into it now.
The Deutsche Bank revelations
yeah.
that came out yesterday, which is that Robert Mueller, in his investigation of the whole Russia... And Trump
kerfuffle.
Yeah. Has subpoenaed Deutsche Bank, which was the only major bank mm-hmm. that was willing to lend to Trump for the past like 10 years because everybody knew how toxic he was financially.
And of course, that makes it even like funnier and perfecter.
Right. And they have
Deutsche Bank.
Yes, Deutsche Bank. And they have.
No, that's just like, you know, fits with his.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Nazi thing. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying.
Yeah, sorry.
And I said, like, as a woman with an umlaut over my last name, like,
You went with Nazi. I went with douche. It's good. One's as well, not as good as you know what I'm saying. Anyway, the
keep talking about me. That's good.
Yeah, I just talked myself really into the crapper there. But
yeah.
But yeah, that
was satisfying.
So yeah, so that means that Mueller is looking into his finances big time. Deutsche Bank.
Bigly. We haven't said bigly in a while.
Yeah, bigly time. Deutsche Bank has major connections to Russia, blah, blah, blah. So.
Bye.
That happened.
In summation, bye-bye.
But since that came out, he hasn't really tweeted, which yeah. I found very interesting. And that made me think, like, uh-oh, they're
shit is
really
getting real. Yeah, no, that's what I think, too. Yeah,
because,
he hasn't really been saying anything.
Yeah, including about the Time cover. So you would expect an immediate reaction from him on the Time cover.
Yeah. I mean, it's been quiet since the tweet that... He immediately was like, oh, no, my lawyer said
yeah.
that. Like, really?
In fact, your lawyer is dumb.
Your lawyer. I don't know shit about shit, and I could be a better attorney for you just because I have Google,
right.
Dumbass.
Yeah. Like, that was an astonishing tweet. Like,
an astonishingly bad tweet and an astonishingly bad defense to it.
Yeah. And raises a lot of interesting questions, potentially, from a litigation standpoint as to, you know, how does a tweet hold up? can it be explained away? Is it counted as the words that, you know, you, regardless of who wrote it, you tweeted it, so that's your voice. That's, you know, I don't know, it's interesting.
You know, I met a lawyer who's working on that very issue in family court.
No.
Just because of, like, how that sort of skirted restraining orders at one point. Like, you could say, okay, well, I wasn't within 500 feet of her.
Right.
Yes, but you tweeted that you were going to behead her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how do you keep that? How do you create that in part of the case you're presenting?
Yeah,
and how do you count that? And so she was telling me about how that impact that that's having. And even with, like, no contact kind of custody battles, mm-hmm. of, like, well, if your kid's on Instagram hitting like on her photo and you're not supposed to be anywhere, you know, what does that mean if you like a kid's or an ex-spouse's content? What is even hitting like? What does that mean?
Right.
So I think it's interesting. And I mean, I think that's fascinating because to me, that's all precedent setting, which we, you know, which I welcome. I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
you know, we have
sure.
to, I mean, many times we've said, you know, talked about examples of when the law had not yet caught up with user behavior. There is a very bright light in my face today in the studio. What's happening?
It's my aura.
I guess. I feel like I'm going to get a migraine if I look at you too much. Sorry if I'm glaring at you, but, like, there's a very newly bright light over your head today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go on a tangent so I can get up and turn the
light
off.
It could be my halo, perhaps.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But no, I think the great thing about what's happening right now and time recognizing that is that, you know, this is a not going away, and this is – you talk
right.
about a sudden – I don't know if social movement is the right word, or a phenomenon. I'm not sure what the right word is, but a thing suddenly like this that is just, I mean, having a massive impact and positive and not positive for the dudes, but positive
right.
for the betterment of all of us and,
sure.
and that sort of thing. And you're just seeing a lot of good things happening. I thought that John Oliver's interview where he was talking to Dustin Hoffman, I don't know if you saw that or not. Holy crap. I mean, you know, and John Oliver, you know, a comedian shall lead us to some degree. I mean, he's been doing throughout all of this great work in terms of really calling people out. And in that case, you know, it was the anniversary showing of Wag the Dog or something mm-hmm. in New York. And so they were doing a little.
What anniversary?
Like 20th anniversary or
oh
something
my
like
God.
That. But it was
no.
A, Maybe it was more, I don't know. But
you talk, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it was like a film screening, and they had a conversation ahead of time, and John Oliver was the moderator, Dustin Hoffman was one of the actors there, and John Oliver brought up allegations that Dustin Hoffman has faced, and man, I mean, it got real uncomfortable and real ugly, and John Oliver did not back down and just kept throwing stuff back in Dustin Hoffman's face and rolling his eyes when there were just these kind of typical excuses that get thrown out. And, you know, to his credit, I mean, look.
1997, you're right.
Yeah.
It
was 20.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so 20 years. But the, you know, you put, I mean, Dustin Hoffman's kind of like a legendary figure in terms of Hollywood celebrities. And so to stand up to somebody like that fearlessly and call them out for being a dirtbag is...
And then not let it go when they give like a rote, kind of polished non-answer.
Yeah, so you're seeing... that. I don't think that would have happened a year ago.
No.
I don't think that would have happened...
6 months ago.
It's just a massive change.
Yeah.
So, you know, credit to John Oliver on that front for having the guts to do it. But what we're seeing, mainly credit, obviously, for all of the women that are coming forward and that have the guts to do this. And to write, well, not write, but to use
public voice in some way.
And to reveal so many mm-hmm. wrongs that have been committed and to, in the end, I believe, make people better. It's a great thing. And I'm glad to see it. I just,
I'm here for it, as the kids say.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, speaking of things that piss me off, which we weren't, but I will, Al Franken now. A large group of first female Democratic senators and now also some male Democratic senators have come out and called for him to resign today after mm-hmm. a new allegation came out. Now, for the record, I said he should resign the second that first one came out because
right away.
I knew there was more coming. It was obvious from the way he handled it. It was obvious mm-hmm. from the photo and just all this sort of stuff. I'm like, dudes like that
Be
don't
done.
Don't just do one thing.
No.
But anyway.
You're not like, that was... I really feel bad. I overstepped my limit, you know, my boundaries. I'm never doing that again.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
You're like, I got away with it.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of like, either you're like that or you're not. I really believe that. Yeah. And if you're like that, then it's unlikely.
You either believe that you have entitlement to women's bodies or you don't.
Right.
And frankly, fucking most of you do.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And I'm thrilled to see the tide turning.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, I didn't participate in Me Too. Mm-hmm. I didn't post anything. Because immediately when I saw it and saw the expectation, like how to play, how to do this, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know which one to pick.
Right, right.
I mean, should we talk about the first time I was catcalled was like shortly after I got boobs, or what happened like 2 days ago walking in here, like, and everything in the middle.
Right.
Like, I can't pick one. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this. I've been thinking about non-celebrity women and like what. Like, it's fascinating and it's great, and I feel that I feel the shift happening, but also there's so much more. It still needs to roll downhill a little further because we're watching, like, powerful and prominent men tumble, but there's men that ain't shit that still need to tumble.
For sure.
You know, that plenty of us know and, like, are around, you know, there's that. So, but today I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said he was having trouble navigating a friendship with a woman. He's trying to be a good ally, and he was kind of like, you know, it's, I know she wants me to just listen, but she's kind of really stuck on this one topic of, and I don't, oh my gosh, Hupke just turned these horrible lights off and it's so exciting. Ah, okay. That's all good. Natural lighting in here. Anyway, he was saying like he feels the shift and doesn't know how to land, how to do it.
Yeah.
And not in the like, different issue than the guys are like, guess I can't hug you now. Not that. Yeah. Not that guy. This is a very woke dude.
Yeah.
But he was telling me that, he was just kind of like, I just sense something is not clicking. And I said, well, here's what you have to realize. We all feel, you know, on some level, not we all, I shouldn't say we all, but many of us feel on some level the shift occurring. We know the ground upon the foundation upon which the patriarchy is built is wobbling, and it's exciting, but we also know, we also kind of sense it's going to get a little worse where it gets better. Like if you jump in to save a drowning person, they'll pull you under with them. Like, we also see it's trying to pull us in and, you know, do that with us. So what I told him, I was like, just for now, don't solve it. Just like, we kind of need to get our sea legs, because we've had these like, We've been so aware of the patriarchy for so long, even if not consciously, subconsciously, mm-hmm. and how it defines our decisions in ways we don't even realize.
Yeah.
That, like I said, on some level, just let it be. You don't need to do anything for her right now. You don't need to be as active as an ally as you think. You can just, and I was like, okay, so if you're, you know, if you're like bored of her talking about the same thing, that's fair, you know, just in conversation art, you know, just be like, hey, you've mentioned the same thing a million times, but also understand it's new.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new time, and it's kind of, I think it's all going to take us a minute to, you know, I mean, I've said this before that like being in a room with a dude you don't know very well, there's always in the back of your mind the threat. You're always kind of like looking for an escape. Okay. If he says something gross, here's my plan. If he tries to stop me or physically pin me or something, here's how I can get out of it. That's always kind of like in the back of your mind, and I can't imagine an era in which you wouldn't be thinking that. And it's kind of exciting to think that there's probably no one living now, but people that will be born here pretty soon will potentially grow up not thinking that. That's exciting and awesome. So I don't know, I think it's an interesting time, but there is both deeper fear of men than ever and a fantastic feeling of like, finally, there's a shift.
Well, I have to, and correct me if I'm this may be wrong, but
I'll woman explain it to you.
Yes, please. I feel like there must be a decent number of women who perhaps have not, again, maybe subconsciously, have not allowed themselves to recognize all of the things that have been going on. Against them.
Yeah, for sure.
Who now are like, oh, wow. You know, so it's that sort of, like you talk about men being woke, there's probably a lot of women who are kind of suddenly being woke because, not, you know, because they didn't care before, just because for various reasons relating to the patriarchal issues.
Sometimes
they were kind of constrained.
Totally. Even sometimes realizing there's a name for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can know, like, that didn't feel good.
Right.
That felt icky. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And usually I think the way, at least when you're really young, the way you often internalize that is, I need to be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did that plenty of times, like with complete creeps that I worked with that said things to me, or just, you know, like even little microaggressions. Like I remember I had this boss that our office was kind of like this one room was just kind of like a long, narrow kind of room. And so it was hard for two people to pass, you know, to do two different sides. And so, but he would, you know, there's a way to do that respectfully.
Sure.
And he would make a point. He would like grab my waist to lean over to get a pen. He would, you know, he was like touching me. And I think probably the first couple times I was probably like 16 and I would, you know, I would say something like, hey now, and I'd make a joke about it and he didn't care.
Right.
And he didn't respond to that. So eventually I stopped doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this man touches my body all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually I said something to him like, hey, I think it, and I botched it because I was so scared and nervous.
Right.
And he even physically moved so that he was between me and the door as I started that conversation, which made it even worse.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, I don't believe he was a sexual predator. I don't think he was going to sexually assault me, but he certainly like did a power move.
Right,
even maybe subconsciously he did it. I don't know that he did on purpose. He might have.
Right.
But he like moved between me and the door. You know, and like I said, it was this narrow office and it was just kind of like this, like, and it made me kind of, it just bothers me when you touch me, sir. You know, and it was just kind of like, I really kind of fucked up the whole conversation because it was scary.
Right.
I was a kid,
of course.
You know, and I think there's just so many things like that, that like, you know, I find myself reflecting on a lot of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the opposition is saying, and many would say, oh, you know, you're just getting brainwashed by feminism. I'm like, no, I internalized it then. I felt bad about it. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel like, wow, boys like me. Golly. It didn't feel like that at all. It felt like, ooh, this is icky. Sometimes it felt like getting talked over or mansplained felt like, maybe I'm not that smart. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I didn't say that in a professional enough way. Sometimes getting ogled or sexualized would be like, you know, deep down it'd be like, gosh, maybe that's where my value is, you know? And like, even if not consciously, like some part of me as a 16, 18 year old was like, okay, men, you know, like me because of what I look like. Great. Well, fuck those guys because I'm super smart and I'm smarter than them. And I bet I got a higher score on my SATs. In your face, bitches. But still, like, it was there. Like, a part of me knew that that was being put on me.
Yeah,
and so I find myself lately reflecting on that a lot, kind of remembering little, as I see other people's stories, I'm like, gosh, that reminds me of a time this happened. I wish I could take me then and bring her to now and be like, look, it works out, I promise you.
Right,
keep punching dudes in Riot Girl mosh pits. It's going to be fine.
Yeah,
I got your back up there in 2017. It will take a long time.
Right.
But like, I sometimes wish I could even like in the early 90s when Riot Girl was happening and there was even, I was explaining this to a young person not long ago, how Kathleen Hanna would yell girls to the front at shows because like that whole movement was so masculine.
Mm-hmm.
She was kicking men out of mosh pits and moving women forward. And that was so revolutionary at the time. And that was, I mean, I remember being in the back of a show and hearing that and being like, what sorcery is this? And it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And indeed, like the crowd kind of parted and girls just started pushing forward. And we were, you know, young women by then, just like moving forward. And it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could go back and get me then,
mm-hmm.
even like mid-90s me, and be like, come with me to 2017. Shit is so amazingly weird and cool and terrible, but you're not going to believe this thing that happens to the patriarchy.
Yeah, right.
So
that's pretty wild. I mean, it is. And again, the way this has happened, which feels not like a slow progression, but like a dam breaking.
Yeah.
And just, you know, And a lot, like you said, I mean, a lot more to happen, and especially with the smaller fish. But still, I mean, it's just really stunning and showing no signs of letting up.
No.
And
I like the, I mean, it's kind of a thing, like it becomes an echo chamber pretty fast, but I like these lists that are going around of like men I don't think will be accused, and it's only like two dudes. Like somebody put the other day, it was like, who was it? It was like,
Santa Claus.
No, it was like Sting and Obama. And I was like, you know, something will come up about Sting.
Yeah,
come on.
Seriously.
Come
yeah.
on. Like, who knows? I mean, I think I would be surprised if anything ever came up about Obama.
Yeah. Although I just don't know. I mean, and honestly, politicians are inherently suspect, I think, because they
agreed.
Are
yeah.
tremendous narcissists. Obama, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I liked
totally.
Obama
no,
a lot,
agreed.
But I'm sure that Obama is.
But
you know,
my basis of that is because he began his political career here on the state level in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you and I know enough people that somewhere we would have heard a whisper of that.
Yeah, I think so too. Also, not for nothing, I don't think Michelle Obama would have put up with any crap.
Hell no.
Which is a big factor.
She'd
I mean,
be
I think,
like, he went out, never heard from again.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds
buried in the backyard. Bye.
This probably sounds sort of stereotypical, but I mean, honestly, like having a strong woman alongside of a man makes that man measurably better, I think, because someone like I'm talking, you know, someone like Michelle, who is, like I said, I don't think she would put up with that. So I think that, you know, if that inclination existed in him somehow, I think she helped put him on a better path.
Like,
see what I'm saying?
Maybe. That like, by having a woman with really clear expectations and boundaries, you know you are clearer on the fact that it would backfire on you?
Right. And also just having, loving a person, like coming
right.
to you know, I think not just men, I think everybody.
Like, let's be real. I don't know many men who would be like, no to Michelle Obama.
Right.
Because she's very awesome and very gorgeous and like, and just a powerful person who emits kind of a positive vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know too many women that'd be like, meh, pass. You
yeah.
know, if like a younger single Michelle Obama would have shown interest in him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I think we are all to one degree or another flawed in our own individual ways. And I think, you know, a true partner corrects the many of those things and vice versa.
That's interesting.
So I'm not just saying that this is a one way street, but I think that, you know, we make each other, and not just partner in a romantic sense either. I mean, I think friends, you know, all those sort of things. Podcast partners, you know what I'm saying? Fist bump. That is what a human relationship that is true and that works does, is
but,
you make each other better.
Agreed. But like the flip side of that is, does that mean like a more passive woman somehow isn't? Here's what I don't want. I don't want someone to listen to what you just said because I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't want someone to listen and go, oh, so a more, you know, mild woman is somehow inviting infidelity.
No, not at all. But that doesn't. So in other words, if it isn't working the way I'm describing, it isn't the fault of the woman. It's
no.
the fault of the man for being an asshole. And that
the only thing she did wrong was marry an asshole.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I don't know. I knew that when I knew I was kind of stepping into a shady area there. But I think that there's some truth to that, though. I think that there, you know, that we are made better collectively. You know, doesn't have to. I mean, not even. I mean, two men, two women, two whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of hopefully you, like. Round out each other's sharp edges.
So it's more about a good partnership than it is like a strong woman.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's probably where I should have started.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about Michelle Obama and Barack.
Yeah.
So that's where.
Yeah. I would
be
shocked if something ever emerged about him.
Yeah.
That would be very shocking.
Yeah.
Other than that, like who's on your list? I don't know.
Yeah. I think I feel like I was just talking to somebody earlier today. I feel like Stephen Colbert seems like he's a good guy.
Yeah. And he spent enough time here in Chicago comedy that I also feel like that's another person we would have probably heard, maybe a douchebag, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard any anything negative about him. Now watch, I say that, someone's going to listen and be like, let me tell you this one time happened.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, I mean, I think men, you know, if you got a story about a man, you should tell it.
Yeah.
There are many valid reasons for not telling it, and I respect that choice, and there are many stories I have not told about men being shitty to me, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And some of it is just like, I've got better shit to do. Some of it is like, some of them, like, the stakes are low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been, like, shitty shit but like, who knows where that dude is? He's not doing anything of real consequence now, so who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, I there's plenty of those examples. But like, if I saw a dude running for office or like becoming a dean of a school or something where other, like, his character counted,
right,
and other people, he needed to be accountable to other people, mm-hmm, I would absolutely be like, oh, well, then let's talk about this thing.
Yeah,
I would absolutely. Not because I don't even care about money. It doesn't even matter. It wouldn't be about money. It wouldn't even be about filing a lawsuit. It, yeah, would be like, I just want the public to know, mm-hmm, vote for the guy you want or hire whoever you want, but I want you to know that this is something that occurred.
Yeah.
Or this is something that was said, or, you know, whatever. I feel like that's the thing. Every woman has a ton of stories.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, like, if you look at the majority of women coming forward right now, the Weinstein case being maybe a slight exception, at least with some where there are lawsuits involved, but you know, the Roy Moore accusers, they're not doing.
No.
I mean, it's 40 years ago or whatever. There's not going to be a, yeah, lawsuit. They don't have anything to gain out of this. Not that that would be a motivating factor, yeah, anyway, or that there would be anything wrong. I mean, frankly, if something happened and you have a right to sue, then sue away. I don't have any,
sure, yeah,
certainly
sue
don't
away
have any issue with that. But the point is, yeah, I mean, there's not a financial motive here at all, and there sure as hell isn't like a fame motive, because Jesus, look what's happening to those,
oh,
poor women that have
you
come
get dragged through the mud.
Yeah, so
even if you look, let's be clear about this. Even if you just go to your damn company's HR and say, like, this guy's inappropriate, mm-hmm, and nothing else ever happens, even in that conversation, they will make you feel like you are crazy and lying.
Yeah, right. And you run a risk.
And I'm telling you that from experience.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, this colleague said some inappropriate shit. My boss didn't care. And I'm not in a position where, you know, I have said what I can to him, and it still persists. So I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
Are you sure he's got a family? Are you sure? Is that how he would tell the story? And then it becomes like, well, fuck you guys then.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. Like, nobody sounds that alarm. So I'm going to tell a really personal story, because I can guarantee the other people listening or the other people involved are not listening, and I don't care. But a really fascinating thing happened to me today, this morning, about the Moore case. But the short version is this, and I thought it was like a fascinating full circle moment. There is an old family friend. My grandmother was very good friends with this woman. Her oldest son used to be a real shit to my dad when they were kids. That man was trolling one of my relatives today on Facebook.
As one does.
As one does. Like, you have done the same thing your whole life in,
yeah,
just,
right,
different forms,
just
guy.
Stopped.
And I didn't even know this dude was on Facebook. And I, you know, I go to this relative, you know, she wrote something like, I can't understand why any woman is supporting Roy Moore right now and defending him. I'm struggling with this. Just my two cents, but, you know, it was like a pretty innocuous post. And she was getting clobbered with these conservative commenters. And, I mean, and I was like, guys, her post was very chill. It was fine.
Yeah.
And I went to comment, because, I mean, the first couple of comments I could see were really mean to her. And so I went to just leave a comment of support, and the comment right before mine was this guy who bullied my dad. And I was,
Jesus,
like, son of a bitch. And I was,
you're
so
back,
mad. And he, and I was like, oh my God, that guy's on Facebook. Oh my God. And because I've heard about him my whole life. My dad used to always, like, they hung out even when they were teenagers, but,
yeah,
it was always clear, like, this alpha dude was a real jag to my dad.
Yeah.
And so my, and he said, he was saying the rudest things to her. At one point, he told her to grow up. Like, she's in her 60s. What's wrong with you? So I said, and he's in his 70s. So I said, you know, I am disappointed and shocked that a longtime family friend would speak to you in this way. And I'm with you. And I find it appalling that somebody would speak so terribly to you for sharing your opinion. And then I sent her a direct message and just told her, I was like, my grandmother, who used to bust his ass all the time when he was a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if my grandmother was alive, she would beat his ass right now. She'd be so mad at him speaking to somebody that way.
Yeah, really.
And so it was like this meta level trolling that,
yeah,
I saw this morning.
Jesus, that's funny.
So I've been thinking about my grandmother today, just going like, I will whoop your ass.
Yeah,
come here. Like, she would be so mad at him
for
saying, grow up.
Yeah.
You know, because he even said something about like fake news. Just because the fake news accuses you of something, of a liberal conspiracy, doesn't mean, you know, I will let justice prevail. I, you know, it doesn't mean you need to believe it. And, like, he was completely taking Roy Moore aside. And so I was like, okay, you've pissed me off saying fake news. You pissed her off. Like, I was like, you're done. So I hope my grandmother wrecks his day from the beyond.
Yeah, I think she will. Well, that's good. As well, she should.
But, you I just know, thought it was, and I sent my dad a text message. I was like, just so you know, that fucking guy
is
like,
it.
Still being a bully.
It's like old Nelson from The Simpsons.
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah. It was, remember when they like rebooted Leave It to Beaver and Eddie Haskell was still a shithead? Yeah. It was that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. But you know, that's such a weird, the people that are like that are such a weird phenomenon. Like I just had a, this is completely off, really veering off topic, but the one of these dudes that emails and gives me shit all the time mm-hmm. about my liberal columns.
Sure.
I hardly ever respond, but he's done it for so long that occasionally I'll.
He's kind of your buddy in a weird way now.
Well, yeah, almost. Yeah. Only not really. But he sent. This is kind of gross, but he sent. I wrote a thing about Roy Moore and Trump and what a bunch of how just god awful that whole mess is.
Yeah.
And he said, I think I'm gonna buy stock up on Kleenex for Christmas this year. Meaning, like, liberal tears, I believe.
Oh, you know? I was like, what?
And I responded, and I said, dude, I don't even want to know what that Kleenex is for. And he responded, LOL. And I'm like, see, this guy just wants to be, he just doesn't give a fuck.
He just wants to razz you.
Right,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He just, like, these guys are just assholes.
Yeah.
And this is fun to them. Like, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's weird, and it's not, and it doesn't make it right or good under any circumstances, but it is, it's kind of a window into that sort of psychosis that causes people to behave that way.
I think it's that, but I think there's another beat, and it's caused by this, I think that there is a faction of white men that really do, that really feel like some supremacy power is getting taken.
Oh, yeah.
They will never say that they are racist.
Sure.
Now, I've gotten a couple of them to say, I'm not racist, I am prejudiced, but I'm not racist. And I'm like, what's the difference? I've gotten a couple of them to do that. And somehow that seems morally okay. Like, that's the gentleman's racism, right. Is prejudiced.
It's like, I'm not red, I'm burgundy. You know, right. It's like, come on.
It's not purple, it's eggplant. Like, come on, guy, come on. Yeah. So it's like some of that, and I think they perceive, because I see comments from them that are like, for some reason they get very caught up on scholarships. Like, everyone can get a scholarship except for white men. Everyone gets an automatic just escorted onto corporate boards except for white men. And I was like, what the fuck corporate board are you looking at? Because
exactly.
There are many men in leadership, and they are white.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? But it's like this narrative they have that somehow, like, this otherness is taking over, and their beloved whiteness is somehow being threatened.
Yeah.
And I think that's fueling that it's okay to be white bullshit that's happening right now, which is totally embarrassing and terrible and awful. I cringe when I see that crap. And, I mean, I got into a conversation with a commenter about this, and he was saying something like, the way he said it was so bizarre, but it was something like, he kept saying they, there was a lot of they, so he's got an us and them situation going.
Yeah.
And his point was that he believes this, that like there's a sense of white men or white people going into the minority population wise, and he believes that's going to subject him to mistreatment. And I said, so does that mean that you have not treated not white people as equal human beings? And he was like, what do you mean? I said, well, you're so convinced that whoever you believe in your narrative, in your universe, you believe that whoever is the other needs to be mistreated. For your life to function, whoever's in the, quote, minority needs to be treated lesser. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you believe that's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, that's how it's always been. Fair enough. But, his logic is that I was like, you're admitting that you have treated people who are not white shittier than you treat white people. I'm not saying you're a hero to white people either, because you seem like a charmer, but like, you admit that you have treated people poorly because they're not white, and that's your only, I'm not racist, I'm prejudiced. Okay, what? But it's, I think that's fueling this.
I do too, yeah.
And I think it's a sense of, like, I mean, because I'm hearing language like fighting, clawing, mm-hmm. struggling. I mean, it makes me really wigged out when I hear like class and labor struggle language borrowed by these guys, because mm-hmm. I was like, you pipe down.
Yeah, right.
Pipe down with your business on that. But it's like I hear this language, and I think it's like this sense of believing they are so, like, the walls are closing in on them. So even being a complete asshole to a very sweet woman married to someone you've known your whole life,
yeah.
as was the case this morning, like, that seems justifiable.
Yeah.
Like, razzing you just to be, like, civility is gone because there's a sense of, I need to fight for my people, which
sure.
is, like, no.
Yeah.
And look, even if in his universe, even if, like, say white dudes become some kind of minority population, who gives a shit?
Right.
So what?
Yeah.
The only answer that is workable in many of, and I feel like I spend way too much time talking to dudes like this because they're all over the internet. But the only workable solution, because if you say, okay, so if every single race was represented equally, would that make you happy? No. So the only option for you is that white men continue to rule.
Right.
And then they're like, well, don't put your feminist, and like they get all mad about that.
Yeah, it's an assertion of power.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yeah, yes.
Lame and flaccid as it may be. But, you know, it's
yeah.
just a, I mean, you have.
They love the word flaccid.
I know. I like to use that a lot. You, sir, have owned me on the internet. I will never be the same. I mean, you know, it's like,
yeah.
it's just ridiculous and troubling. But it's just, sometimes it's interesting to me how the person behind it isn't. It's almost like they're not as serious as they kind of make
yeah.
themselves sound, but
yeah.
yet the motivation is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Whatever. It's so fucking weird. But I know. I just. It's, but you know what?
That's going in the super clip of our swearing. Whatever. It's so fucking weird.
But the thing that, going back to the Time magazine, you know, the whole issue of the Me Too stuff and
yeah.
everything. One thing that's been making me nuts, especially today, as we're seeing a lot of people, a lot of Democrats come out against Al Franken and saying he should resign, which they should have said a long time ago,
yeah.
but whatever. There is still this parsing going on of, well, he should resign when Trump resigns.
Oh.
He should resign when Roy Moore steps in. And I'm like, okay.
Yes, Trump should resign
right.
for the same reasons. However, let's deal with this right now.
Exactly. And the thing that, and I got, like, I sent out a tweet and I said this should have basically on the Franken, as the Franken news was breaking about Senator Gillibrand and all
yeah.
these other first women and then some men also on the Democratic side saying he should resign. I said this should have happened weeks ago. And I caught all this shit from the left and being like, you know, well, why should he step down? And no, I mean, look. You got to take the high ground here, right? I mean, you cannot say, well, he did it too. so the guy that yeah. I like because he is a good liberal. And
my friend stabbed a guy too. Why should he? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
just, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I feel yeah. like right now we as people with like a liberal, progressive, whatever mindset, I think are trying to perhaps chart a better path forward, and people who are taking this, all of the things that we've seen from all of the women coming forward and trying to take it seriously and respect it and do better. I don't give a crap if you lose a good liberal that you like in
yeah.
the process
yeah, yeah.
because you're trying to build for the future. You're not building for this moment. You're not saying, well, they're about to put a pedophile in the Senate, which is correct
and also should be stopped,
right?
However,
which is awful, but
let's take issues by issues.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
this is not I mean everybody's looking at it like, first of all, they're looking at it like a game, like
yeah.
people scoring points or
right.
my, you know, I don't want my guy knocked off the board, which is ugh. bullshit, but then they're also looking at it just at, you know, at the in the moment, and it should be like, no, I mean, I when people look back at this moment in history, I want them to see that we made the right decisions.
Yeah,
you know, we policed our own, you know, lawmakers and, you know, from our own party, and we did the right thing. And if that means that there are short-term losses against the opponent.
If there are casualties in the process, whatever. But metaphorically.
Yeah, exactly. But that, right, of course. But the but that's the problem is that we have this, you know, this is set up as a game and like with winners and losers as opposed to just individual situations.
Right.
And that's what makes me so nuts. And if we don't break out of that, we are just, not just with respect to sexual harassment and sexual assault and everything else, but with everything, you know, if we don't stop saying like, well, no, your guy did that, so my guy.
So I'm going to protect my guy. Yeah. No, our guys did the same thing. No, that's stupid.
No, it has to stop. And if the other political party doesn't behave the same way, hey, that's their problem to deal with. It's not yours. It makes me mad.
I think there's so much fascinating splintering going on. I mean, I think there's I think left and Democrat is really, I know that was, those were interchangeable words for a long time. And I know, like I used to even just be like, whatever, people, I know what they mean. I don't think so anymore. Like I can't even let that go anymore. I think this election and this time has done so many things. And I think even Democrats are like, the fuck is my party doing? Mm-hmm. I want no part of this. So there's even like, there's a split within the Democratic, in the Democratic Party, and then there's people that feel marginalized all around. They're like, fuck it. And I think that's why we saw, the popularity of Bernie Sanders and Democratic Socialism as this, of a lot of people just going like, you know what? Fuck this. I can't play here. I can't do this. And I think that's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think the same amount of, I change my answer on this one every day, but I think the same amount of splitting is happening in the Republican Party.
I agree with that. Yes.
But I don't know what.
But not at the end of the day, though.
They keep coming back. They'll fight all day long, but they'll sit down and have dinner together at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Whereas I think, like, I don't even think a Democrat that's gone to identify leftist is. Like, that's totally different. Or someone who's been leftist their whole life or whatever. Like, I just don't even put those two in the same. Like, I don't even look at it like a two-party system anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think there are multiple. And I think we need. I have been challenging myself to not use language that supports that. Because I think without even thinking, I'm like, both sides or both ends of the spectrum. And I don't think left is a further extreme of. I don't necessarily think that. Like someone identifying leftist is necessarily a more extreme version of a Democrat. I think that's like a separate thing, mm-hmm. completely, with completely different values and completely different goals.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but talk about I try to control myself because it's just like it's like walking into a minefield, at least on Twitter.
I can't even, Rex. I'm just now back on Twitter after I wrote an op-ed that seemed very innocuous.
Yeah,
my mentions are still muted. I resisted doing that. You suggested I do that, and I resisted doing so, and I finally had to do it because I was like, I'm going on Twitter in a week.
Yeah.
And I was tweeting through Buffer just so I didn't have to look because I was like, this is getting disgusting, and it's really gutting me.
Yeah.
And I had to just, like, put it down. I at one point handed my phone to a friend, and I said, will you look at my mentions and tell me if it's cool to get back on? She goes, you better give it a day for your own mental health. Real bad.
I've done that before.
So I put like a paper towel over. I like looked at notifications, put a paper towel over it, and then just like went to settings and changed it. I was like, I don't want to see this trash.
Yeah.
You know, like one word will jump out of a tweet and you're like, oh my God, that's gutting. Clearly you only read the first paragraph.
Yeah.
And about like a day of it, it was just like, I'm just watching people humiliate themselves with their defensiveness and prove they only read the first paragraph.
Right.
What idiots. Yeah. But it's still upsetting to have strangers, hundreds of strangers, as you know, every single day, say just horrible, dangerous things about you. So it's like, so I have been, that's all a sidebar, but I say that to just like, I'm just back on Twitter and on actual Twitter, not using a third party app to just post just to be current. And I it's weird that the moment away from it, I wake up in the morning and I scroll through just to see like what, you know, like you said at the beginning, what fresh hell awaits me today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm looking at it through a like from over there. Mm-hmm. It's weird how my brain did that just being away like a week.
I've
just been
that
like,
is.
I don't feel in it. I feel like I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of good and bad. There's both of that.
Yeah. And yeah, at the end of the day, I don't know how healthy Twitter is going to wind up being for all of us. But in the final analysis of things, you know.
You know what, like, I think the death knell was making the more characters.
Really? See, I don't see why. That didn't.
That drives me crazy.
Really? Because I don't see it being used that much, first of all. And
right.
So I don't, which is what they found too from the test they did. So, and also I'm like, I don't care. I mean, if I don't want to read something, I'm not going to read it. If it means I might have to scroll a bit more to get past it, well, that's not the end of the world. So I didn't have a problem with
it. It just
personally.
Feels like extra litter.
Yeah. The whole thing's litter though, really, when you get down to it.
So, I know.
But,
the thing I liked about 140 characters was like, get to the fucking point.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, and that I think Twitter made my writing immensely better.
Immensely like, better, because I would just get to the point.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's a really good tool in that regard.
But, yeah, absolutely. And I think I've told this story many times in public, but the day I realized, what if the tweet is all you have? Because I did a test where I wrote an intentionally vague tweet to go with a story, just to see what would happen. And said something like, if you haven't read the story about blank, here it is. And it was a totally different take on that thing. Mm. It was something totally else. And people assumed what I was talking about and assumed what I meant. And some people even tore into me. And I was like, you guys, I tweeted a Fox News story agreeing with your bitch ass.
Yeah.
Like, and I did it in a very neutral way. Yeah. But people who know me and like me were like, yeah, right on. I'm like, you don't even know what I was talking about. You don't even know. Yeah. So my realization that day was, okay, a tweet that just got 150 likes, nobody clicked through.
Right. It's scary.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. No, the click-through rate is horrendous. There's ways of checking that. I've done that
before. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like if you're, you know, you've got like the, not all Twitter accounts have them, but some of them, like I have, like I have that, you have that. Yeah, like it'll say like interactions and all that.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, wow, 300 people hit like. Two people click through.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, anybody that thinks Twitter's a good driver of web traffic or anything, it's crazy. But
it isn't breaking news moments.
Yeah. Well, right. If something
for
yeah.
like something big,
yeah, for something
the first
big.
One out, it's yeah.
But like generally speaking, not the best.
But it's I mean, it depends what words. I mean, there's that too. People. We've kind of morphed into writing things in a clickbaity way, even when we don't realize it. Mm-hmm. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, see what happened. Just tell me.
Right.
Like we say, you know, we came across some baby birds. Look what happened next. Just and saved them and they flew. Like I'll still read your stupid story. You don't give me the what happens next thing. Just don't.
I don't like that either.
I can't stand it. So I think, you know, we don't.
The answers might surprise you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And for some reason, we're reverting to a lot more questions and headlines, which drives me crazy.
Yeah.
If there is a question in a headline, the answer is probably no. As a general rule, right? There's one that's like, should Democrats and Republicans just merge? No.
Have dinosaurs returned? No. Thank you. But thank you.
Is Trump a nicer guy than we think? Yeah, no.
Definitely not. That's like the Slate. I always make fun of Slate because they always offer the contrarian.
Yeah.
Know, part of the, is Roy Moore's alleged pedophilia actually a good thing? Or you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, no.
No. No, it's not. Like, not even a little bit.
Like Nazis. Could they be helping us? You're like, no.
Nazis. Friend or foe? Right. I'm going to go with foe, dumbass.
I swear to God they do that. There should be like one of those like parody account bots that just has like Slate ideas because it's always just some like really. I mean, they do normal stuff too, but invariably whenever there's a thing happening. You know, like with the Me Too, they'll be like, have we reached the, you know, point where the Me Too is, you know.
Has Me Too jumped the shark?
Or it
no.
is doing more harm than good. And
written
like,
by, you know. Total young white guy.
Yeah. Manny Van Manpants.
I love that guy. Yeah. I think it was Slate that, watch, somebody from Slate's going to be all up on us.
And no offense to Slate. I mean, they do
Slate's
good stuff,
fine.
Too.
I read
mean,
Slate.
Yeah, it's just
fine.
That they, I noticed this trend.
There's a trend there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember during the when we last picked a pope, immediately that day, as soon as the news was out, Slate was ready with a story of like, yes, but is anyone looking at their shoes? And it was a story about like the Prada shoes that the pope wears.
Yeah.
And it was like, give me a minute. Give it an hour. Hang on, please. And it was just like, I appreciate the second beat, but it needs to be in the second beat.
Right, yeah.
The long view.
You've pre-jumped the shark.
Yeah, you're jumping the gun a little bit, guy. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. No, I'm not feeling good. And I love Twitter. So much has happened in my life because of Twitter. The Tribune hired me because of Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, so much has happened in my life because of Twitter. But I go there now and I'm like, why are we all here? We hate each other. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it can be a bit of a garbage fire.
Yeah. You're either high-fiving your friends or going, fuck that guy, he's an idiot. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've started following a lot of, I follow Cute Emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
lots of elephant accounts.
Nice. Oh, man, there was an awesome dog thing the other day that had a kid was kind of like laying on his dog. It was a really big dog. And he was rubbing the dog's or scratching the dog's tummy.
Aww.
And the dog's leg was scratching the kid's back. it was like the symbiotic relationship. It was fantastic.
Aw, that's so cute. And like so my tell of this place is a garbage fire is in the middle of everything. I'll just be like, everybody stop for a minute. Here's this Samoyed puppy.
Yeah, that's good.
Here you go. That's always my tell. If you see me tweeting a cute animal, I'm like, bleh. Screw it.
I had somebody unfollow. I love it when people unfollow and announce that they're unfollowing.
Yeah,
I had somebody say, I don't follow. It was in my Franken tweet where I said Franken should have stepped down weeks ago. And she's like, I don't follow dumb people. And I'm like, well,
you're so brave to announce it. Oh.
Well, and also, you were following me. I did not just start. I did not just become dumb.
I dropped my brain off this morning.
Yeah, like, I've been dumb for a really long time. So I don't think that's a factual statement on your part.
I had someone who's followed me for a long time, and I follow her. She announced a while back, she was like, I'm systematically unfollowing every journalist working at a Sinclair-owned station. So look out as new acquisitions are happening. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because it's like, okay, so that, like, we don't need to get into that too much here, but, like, okay, that, like, everyone can Google and understand what's happening with WGN Radio and Sinclair. Like, everyone can look into that on their own if they're interested. But that doesn't mean that, like, overnight you and I will be like, welcome to Guth and Hupke Politics. Leader is great.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I pity the fool that tries to tell me what to do and think on the radio. I really do.
Right.
Because here's what will happen. And I've said this. I told her right then on Twitter. I said, here's what will happen. If someone comes in and says, I need you to do a show about conservative politics, I'm going to say a highly critical one of them. I'll do that. And if they say, no, I need you to do something a little more Fox News, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to leave. And then my first tweet is going to be, I was asked to toe the line for conservative politics. Because here's what people don't understand. All we have in this business is our reputation. And you compromise it one time, you're done. Yeah. No one else is ever going to hire you again. You're going to go to a different profession. You cannot do this job anymore.
Yeah.
So I pity the fool that tries to be like, I need you to toe the line, be a little Fox News.
Right.
Nope. I'm out, and I'm going to tweet about it, and I'm going to make a lot of noise, and you're going to regret ever asking me that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, somebody once said, well, what do you do if they, tell you to write something you don't want? And I was like, I'll find another job.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a, this
peace
is not,
out, bitches. It's not, that's
not
what
a
I'm going to do.
Difficult question here. I mean,
right, what do you think I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
All right.
And if
you do it, and then you're in the wrong business, you know?
None of us signed up to be someone's bitch.
Mm-mm.
Really.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, she unfollowed me, I think.
No,
I was like, okay, well,
later.
Better you unfollow me now than when the overlords arrive
when you
and
become,
tell me what to write and say.
You become WGN's Megyn Kelly. Or Tomi Lahren, or what that was.
Whatever her name is that girl.
Yeah, that's just a flamethrower. Right,
she's a problem.
She's like a wannabe Ann Coulter.
I know, right?
Which is probably the worst thing you can be on Earth. It's like you're like sort of like dime store Ann Coulter.
The poor man's Ann Coulter.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. We've pissed off a lot of people today. That's going to be great.
Yeah, fun.
This will be exciting. Oh, well.
Bring it.
Well, they can join the people already angry with me on Twitter.
There you go.
Good times. And then they can meet your people. Maybe they'll have a love connection.
Yeah. I'm going to start a protest march. Go for it.
That'll be good. All right. Well, we've gone a bit over, so we better go. But this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time. Try not to blow shit up and be mean on Twitter in the meantime. All right. Bye.